in the house of the Lord, and happy Father's Day to all the dads today. I got to spend this last week in Tennessee with my family, and Monica said, I'm staying down here. And so I'll pick Monica up in a few weeks, so I am a bachelor, she said, what are you going to do down there, or up here? And I said, man, I'm going to go hog wild in this town. You know, there's just all kinds of trouble I can get into here in Decorah. But I put 2,000 miles on the car this week, but I had a good week, and I feel like, you know, I'm still driving as I was driving all day yesterday, and, you know, kind of everything's a little blurry, but we'll see how we do today. We are in a new series, and it's entitled New, The Irony of That New, and we're going to talk about being made new in Christ and what that looks like and kind of unpack that for the next 3 weeks here in this brief three-week series. And before we get started, one other thing I want to mention. Next week, this is exciting. We've been interviewing, not yet, we're in the process, but we've been putting out job postings for a music pastor / youth pastor. And we have our first candidate coming next weekend. And so we hope to get a few. And we've gotten a few resumes that we've been sorting through. And his name is Jared, and Jared's going to be leading worship here next Sunday. And then on Sunday evening, he'll be doing the devotion upstairs for the Bible study, where Anthony and Amanda, of course, work with the youth, and he'll be there. So he'll be here this next weekend. He'll be here and excited about that. So he's one of the candidates we're looking at. He's from Minneapolis area, and he graduated from Northwest Christian College, just graduated with a music major, and I believe an emphasis in biblical studies, so really looking forward to that. So in this new series, New, I want to start by asking the question, how many of you at some point or another have been disappointed with your behavior? You would say at some point or another, yeah, sometimes I'm just disappointed with the way I act or the things I do. You'd be honest enough to raise your hand. Yeah, I'd say, you know, maybe you find yourself yelling at your kids. You're like, I don't know why I'm always yelling. Or perhaps you are impatient with the people you love the most. Right? You're just a little impatient with the people you love the most. Or maybe you're a bit overly critical. You're just overly critical about things, and you're like, man, I wish I wasn't like that. You look at yourself in the mirror sometimes, and you say, you know, I'm trying to follow Jesus, and I'm trying to be a faithful Christian. However, sometimes I do things that aren't very Christ-like. I find that I feel this way a lot of times after I get done preaching to you on a Sunday morning. I feel like I'm not preaching to you, but preaching to myself. And I'll give this message, and I'll go home, and I'll think, man, I just said this, but I did the exact opposite of what I told someone else to do. Or I'll have time with the Lord reading the Bible, and I'll say, oh man, this is so good. And I'll go out, and I'll do the exact opposite of what I just read, and I feel like such a hypocrite. And so we'll say things like, man, I just need to be better. I just need to try harder. Some will say, you know, I just need to make church a priority. I just need to start going to church more, make it a priority, and turn over a new leaf. That's what I need to do, turn over a new leaf. Others will say, I'll just try to be more religious, right? I'll just be more religious. I just need to be more religious. And so the key thought for this series is this. Religious behavior may make you nice, but only Christ can make you new. Religious behavior may make you nice, but only Jesus can make you new. When we truly follow Jesus, we're not just better, but he makes us new. Let's look at the key verse for this series, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul says this, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." Some of you here today, and I realize not everyone here today is a Christian. Maybe you are dragged here by a family member, or you just came and you're checking it out and you're exploring the faith. And I want you to know I'm glad that you're here. This is a perfect Sunday to be here. In fact, the next 3 weeks are great Sundays to be here. If you're just kind of exploring the faith and looking and haven't made a decision, you might look at Jesus from a human point of view. You might say, he was a great teacher, or he was a great leader, a nice guy who said some really cool things. So, yeah, I believe in God. But notice that these verses don't say anyone who believes in Christ. They don't say that. Why? Why? Because in James chapter 2, James says, even the demons believe in God and shudder. Even the demons believe in God and shudder. So it's not just about having a head knowledge. Yeah, I believe in God. It's not just about having a head knowledge or a belief that there is a God. In fact, I would say the majority of the world we live in believes that there is a God, although that's changing in the landscape of our world today. But most people would say, yeah, I believe there's a God. However, this doesn't mean they're going to spend eternity with him any more than the demons will spend eternity with him. In fact, I love this verse in Matthew 7, verses 21 and through 23. Jesus says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And if we were to put this in our language, we might say, well, didn't I go to church? I mean, didn't I say my prayers? Didn't I talk about you, Lord? But maybe it was a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. Maybe your heart was really far from him. And so the question I think about in that verse is, what does it mean to do the will of our Father in heaven? Jesus said, to do the will of my Father in heaven. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean being better. I'll just be better, or I'll just try harder. Your being better and trying harder will always fall short. It'll always fall short. In fact, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. So what is it about? It's about being made new through the power of Jesus Christ. It's about letting him do the work in you. I like this verse in Romans 8:6. Says this. By the way, the New Living Translation is excellent for the book of Romans. Man, it makes the book of Romans so much simpler and easier to read. Romans 8:6. "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death." So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So we want to let him do the work in us. And you might say, well, Ed, I want to sign up for that. Who doesn't want that? How do we know when we're letting the Spirit control our lives as opposed to walking in the flesh or according to the sinful nature? Well, one example might be is when we love our neighbor as ourself. Right? That could be an example of when we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. When we love our neighbor as ourselves, we know that we're walking like Jesus would walk. Right? Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So if we're loving one another, we're walking in the Spirit. And so over the rest of this message, I want to kind of unpack what it looks like to be made new and let the Spirit work in you and through you in a bunch of areas of our lives. And I'm going to play just some brief videos, 2-minute video clips. And the first one is a guy named Pastor Chuck, and he's part of Life Church TV. And if you don't know this, we get our sermon series from Life Church TV, and the pastor there is Pastor Craig Rochelle. And they give free resources to churches all over the world, and they have many campuses across the United States, and it is a super blessing. And so I want you to hear from some of his church plants and pastors about what it means to be made new. And this first story is Everyone is Welcome. Everyone is welcome. So let's go ahead and play that video.
I want to tell you a story that started on July 4th of 2010 when Mike and Marianne Lepley and their daughter Michelle walked through the doors of our church for the first time. They quickly found me and asked if it was going to be a problem or if their daughter would be welcomed into our church. You see, their daughter was 7 months pregnant and was not married, and I quickly assured them that everyone is welcome at Life Church. They didn't really know how to take that, but they came anyway, and a few weeks into their story, Michelle raised her hand to give her life to Christ right here at this church. You fast forward a few weeks, and Michelle began to get really connected here at the church. Everyone reached out and loved her as one of our own. A couple months after that, Michelle gave birth to her son, Ian, and Ian was a crowd favorite here at the church. Big old blonde hair, and everybody loved Ian. The part I love about this story is Michelle was baptized here a few months after giving her life to Christ here at Life Church, and a few months after that, she met her husband-to-be, a great young man that's in the military, and I was privileged enough to marry them here at Life Church, and that brought about some sad news that we were going to have to say goodbye to Michelle and Ian as they embarked on their new journey out to a military base in Colorado. But the story doesn't stop there. You see, it just gets better. What God had begun in Michelle here at Life Church continues today. Even just to a few weeks ago, her story continues here in our church. You see, Michelle got so excited about what God had called her to do that she began to use the internet and leverage the technology available through our resources online, that she led her friends through their very own Kazone experience. Then after that, she was able to use church online as a platform and a tool to invite her friends to come to our church here in Hendersonville, Tennessee. They walked through the doors for the first time ever. They gave their life to Christ, and now they have signed up to serve in our Life Kids ministry. Just for the last 2 weeks, they have both been here serving faithfully. And the best part is Michelle has now accepted a youth position on the Air Force base where she's ministering to students each and every week. The deal is, everyone is welcome at our church, and everyone has a story that God wants to.
I love this story. And here's why. It's because you have a young lady who's not even sure if she's going to be welcome. She's not sure if she's going to be welcomed and accepted. And I want you to know that here, you are always welcome. You are always welcome here. And we are doing our best to make you feel welcome. In fact, Carolyn Hemiseth has really started a hospitality committee. And she's organized this committee to kind of go further. Not just are we good as a body in greeting people at the door and here in the lobby, But we want to be able to kind of write notes and cards and follow up with people, because we want people to know that we genuinely love them, that we genuinely care about them. Everyone who walks through these doors, I still want to give them a touch. And by a touch, I mean a handshake, a hug, eye contact, just so they know, hey, you are important. I'm glad that you're here today. And so Carolyn Hemiseth is kind of in charge of this committee. And if you don't know who she is, you can go to our information table and someone will bring you to her. And you might say, you know what? I'd like to help with this committee. I'd like to go deeper and help in reaching people and making them feel welcome here. Jesus was passionate about this kind of welcoming attitude. In fact, let's look at Luke chapter 14, verses 12 and 13, a passage you're, I'm sure, familiar with. He says this, "Then he turned to his host, and he said, 'When you put on a luncheon or a banquet,' he said, 'don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind.'" Jesus often invited those that others overlooked. And I remember in college at Michigan State, I could go into a campus ministry group, and I could walk in and walk out without one person saying hi to me. And that was a lonely feeling. And I know that happens here sometimes, where you may even be visiting here today. And I hope and I pray that doesn't happen, that you walk in and you walk out and nobody says hi to you, because it breaks my heart. I know what that feeling's like. And so I pray that you feel welcome here. Jesus often, often invited those that others overlooked. He invited those that religious people would look down on. And so it doesn't matter where you come from or what you look like. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you come from or what you look like. You can come with your questions, your doubts, your fears, your insecurities. You may say, "Ed, I have some darkness in my life. There's some sins I have right now. I have some struggles in my life right now." Well, we all do. You come as you are, right? It doesn't matter if you have a lot of money or no money. It doesn't matter if you have hair or no hair. Body tattoos or no tattoos. Body piercings or no piercings. Nice clothes or not so nice clothes. All that matters is that you wear clothes, okay? All right. The good news is God accepts you as you are. However, he doesn't leave you as you are. With Jesus, he makes all things new. He makes us new. He gives us a brand new start. How about another story entitled New Marriage? And this is from another one of their campuses. And I want you to just get a picture of this story, and maybe it'll speak to you in your marriage. Go ahead, Randy, and play that clip.
Thanks, Craig. Hi, everyone. I'm Robert Wall, pastor of Life Church here in Fort Worth, Texas. Yeah. And I'm standing here with Bruce and Tracy, and they have an incredible family. And I'll never forget the first weekend that they came. Their son, Bruce Jr., commits his life to Christ. And then our next baptism bash, their daughter, Ariana, and Tracy's sister were all baptized. And God was doing great things. But unfortunately, along the way, Bruce and Tracy began to have marriage problems. And unfortunately felt that their only solution was to get a divorce. So they divorced, but after that, they continued to attend each and every week separately, and God began to do a work in their life individually. And Craig, it was in the series From This Day Forward that God did something powerful in their lives, and I want everyone to hear their story.
Well, From This Day Forward made a huge impact on our relationship and our lives. And it was through every message in that series, God began to do something powerful in and through us. From fighting fair to having fun, staying pure, never giving up. But I'll never forget the first week that seeking God, I just began to think back how we sought God separately, and we began to learn that we would have to seek God together to have a successful marriage, and our lives were changed at that point.
The enemy is put in place to destroy, and he thought that he had us, but we won the battle, and we were made new.
Boy, that is so good. And you know what, guys? We are so excited and looking forward to celebrating the big day coming up when the two of you are getting remarried. God is so good, Craig. Back to you.
Some of you may be at a place where you're like this couple in this video, and you're hitting a dead end. And I hope that this verse in Isaiah 43:19 would speak to you today. Here it is as we put it up on screen. For I am about to do something new, God says. I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. And maybe right now you're like, I feel like I'm in the wilderness in this relationship, in this marriage. That's what it feels like. God says, I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And you may feel that way, like it's been a dry wasteland. And God says, I'm about to create rivers in a dry wasteland. Some of you, you need a new thing in your faith. You need a new thing in your faith or your relationship right now. You need a new thing in your finances. Or a new thing, a new healing in your body, so to speak. I believe we serve a God. When everybody else says there's no way, our God can make a way. Sometimes we don't see an open door. But like in the cartoons, as I was watching Bugs Bunny and Coyote, all of a sudden they'll draw a door, you know, and Bugs Bunny will run through it and it'll close when the coyote tries to run through it. You know, God's like that. Man, he can open up doors out of nothing. He can take our lives that are falling apart and he can put them back together again because he's God. He can give you a new marriage. How about as a church, being a new church, what can God do? I'd like to think that we as a church are faith-filled, that we're thinking big toward the future as we prepare to bring hopefully another person on staff, that we're bet the farm risk takers, that we won't insult God with small thinking and safe living, that we'll think big for the city of Decorah because the people in Decorah here matter to God. Which as I look back over the 5 years that we've been here now, in August will be 5 years. I thought, man, I can't believe it. 5 years. And I think about how we've gotten bigger each year. Man, God is so good. God's done it all. People matter to God. The city matters to God. Which begs the question, why are we growing? Why have we slowly and steadily been growing through all that we've been through as a church in these last 5 years? I think it's because you care about people. You care about people. You invite your family, right? How many times do I come here on Sunday morning and someone says, this is my mom, this is my dad, this is my brother, this is my sister, this is my friend. You care about your family. You care about people. That's why we're growing. You invite people. You want to show people what you've experienced, the love of Christ. I love this next story we're going to play here, this video. It's called The Power of an Invitation. The Power of One Simple Invitation. Let's play that, Randy.
Shows the chain reaction of life change. It happens when folks simply invite others
to church. I want to share a story about the Abbott family. They've got a six-year-old little girl named Emma Grace who got baptized at one of our baptism bashes. And the amazing thing is she invited over 50 people to come watch her publicly proclaim what God has done in her life. And the amazing thing is over 40 of those folks showed up. Of those 40, there was a couple that had been disengaged from church for a long time but decided to come, loved it so much that they became regular attenders. They liked it so much they invited their parents to come, and their parents also had become disenchanted with church, but because they were familiar with your books, Pastor Craig, they decided to come. They fell in love with it as well and started coming consistently. These parents then invited their other daughter to attend, so she came with her son. When they showed up, their lives were changed, and they were a part of the next baptism bash, inviting their circle of friends, and that chain reaction of life change continued, all because this little girl invited folks to church. Interesting thing about this weekend is Emma Grace got baptized on a Saturday night. And for the campuses that have Saturday night services, you need to know that is the best time to come to church. Well, she invited two pastors who were able to come on Saturday. And while they were there at that service, they heard about the resources that we are able to give away absolutely free because of all of us and all of you that give so generously to God through this local church. And now these pastors are taking these resources, and it's impacting entire churches, all because this little girl decided to invite. And the best way for me to sum this up is the end of the email that Aaron, the dad, sent to me. And here's what he said. There really is no way to know how many lives have been or will be affected because a six-year-old was obedient and shared openly about her faith. The only thing I am sure of is how it changed the faith and commitment of her dad. I see the power of something as simple as asking someone to church and how much of an impact that can make in the lives of so many. Thanks so much again for the opportunity. That's one of many stories that God is playing out right here.
I want you to think about that for a moment. This little girl gets over 40 to 50 people to come to church. What's our excuse? What's our excuse? Imagine how God could use all of us if we simply got the faith that this little girl had. I was riding home yesterday in that long ride and talking to one of my best friends, and he asked me a question, and in the process of asking me that question, it caused me to really think about some things. And he wasn't asking the question intending me to think about some things. He was asking it for a business scenario. And he said, give me an example of someone you know that's not a Christian, and tell me about them, a little bit about their story. And I really stumbled. And he didn't see anything wrong with that, but I immediately saw a red flag with that. I thought, that's a problem in my life. I only know Christians. That really bothered me. Like, I couldn't think of anyone off the top of my head who I was interacting with who I knew was far from Christ. Now, you may be here today and you may say, hey, well, you talk to me every week and I feel like I'm far from Christ. Okay, but you're here. You know, it bothered me. John 1, verses 45 and 46 says this. John chapter 1, verse 45 and 46. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. We found the one. And about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Here's the key words. Come and see, said Philip. Come and see. Come and see. How do you respond to your family and your friends when they say, I'm not going to that church. I hear they do such and such. That church is weird, or that church is different, or I've never experienced anything like that. And that I'm not so sure. How do you respond to that? You respond with, come and see. Hey, come and see. Come and see. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Just come and see. Please, just come and see. Let's look at one last story here, and this series is a little bit different in that we're going to be kind of weaving these stories in and thinking about being made new. But I really think these stories are impactful and hopefully have touched your life this morning. And this last story is called Born Again. Born Again. Let's play that video, Randy.
Came to the church one day, man, she was in a desperate place. She came in and sat down with myself and one of our staff members and just poured her heart out. She was in a dark place with her husband. Her husband is in the military, and he was suffering from some post-traumatic stress, and this was really affecting their marriage and just their family as a whole, and she didn't know where else to go, but she saw the church, and she said, I got to go there and talk to Pastor, and she did that, and we were able to pray with her and just encourage her. And really what we did is we just told her, you just got to start coming to church and bring your family here. And she did just that. Every Sunday she would come to church and bring her family, and they started coming together, and little by little we started seeing something happen inside of them. Their face was changing, their countenance was changing. God was doing something, and they got into a life group and started getting plugged into the church. And one Sunday night, she emailed me, and I'd like to read this email to you. It says, Hello, Pastor Sam. This is Christina. I wanted to thank you again for all your words you tell everyone at church. We are so blessed to be a part of Life Church. My husband, since the day I went there, the day that I talked with you, and I did not know what to do, remember that day? It's been a miracle for us. Michael is another person. He is so thankful that I am by his side as his wife, and thankful that I asked for help. Now, since we met God, our life is better, is beautiful, happier. There's no more I want a divorce, no more fights, no more hate. He likes to go to church every Sunday. He likes to go because he feels peace, love, security. Since then, he hasn't had those bad thoughts that he wanted to kill himself again. God has answered our prayers, and I just can't find the right words to express how thankful, how happy I am, because we trusted God. And he was there all the time. And we're still asking for favors. He has showed that with him, we can do everything. Our faith is so big, like his furious love for us. I'm working from home now, and I'm starting to give my 10% back to him. I can't believe how nice God is. I don't know how I can write my story, and you can share it with more people, because God is real, and he helped us with a very difficult time. And since we gave our life to him, I feel that we are new people, a new us. It feels like we are born again. Thank you for everything, Pastor Sam. I hope you and your family are doing well. And that's just a great story of what God can do with a family, a couple, a marriage, when they give their lives over to him. Thank you.
The words born again is a biblical phrase, and it occurs in John chapter 3. And it's in the story of a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he belonged to what was the best behaved religious group of people. They followed all 613 commands. And Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. Nicodemus went to Jesus at night. That's where we get the phrase, Nick at night. Okay. All right. What did he say? What did he say? John chapter 3, verses 2 through 7. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are what? Born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? What are you talking about? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. I would say it like this. God's not trying to necessarily give us a better life or to help us improve upon our life. He truly gives us a new life. And it's not by your power. It's not by your power. It's not by your strength. Oh, I just need to pick myself up by my bootstraps and fly right, as my dad would say. Son, you need to fly right, whatever that means, right? You cannot do it in your own power and in your own strength. And so the key thought is, we sum up this message today, and the last point on your bulletin is this. Religious behavior may make us nice. All right? I'll just mind my P's and Q's. But only Christ can give us new life. Jesus said what? I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He wants to give you a new life. New life. In the next few minutes here, we're going to pray a prayer. That is, if you'd like to join us. And those of you who have never asked Jesus to forgive you for your sins, and you've never invited him to be your personal Lord and Savior, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if that's your desire to give him your heart, to give him your life, you may say, Ed, I don't even know what all that means. But I do know that I want Jesus. I do know that I want a new life. I'm tired of living this life that I've been living. I need him. I need forgiveness for my sins and my struggles in those dark areas, those corners in my life. And I've never asked him to do that for me. And I want to start fresh. I want to start new today. If that's your desire, in a minute, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you just repeat those words in your heart, it's not getting the words perfect. It's your heart. God knows your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you're already a Christian. You say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I've kind of wander down some paths I shouldn't be in. I've strayed, and Ed, I'm just struggling right now. I'm just struggling with some areas in my life, and I need it to be new again. I need this relationship to be new, this marriage. I need a new faith. I need something new with my finances. I need new healing in my body. Would you pray for me? That God would do a new work in my heart and in my life. Well, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for us and for our sins. And if you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I want to personalize that. I want it to be more than just a belief, because I know that even the demons believe in God. I want it to be my personal belief, where it becomes personal for me. If that's you, then I would ask you to softly and quietly repeat these words in your heart after me, and here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. And if you're here this morning and you say, Ed, there's some areas of my life I need them to be made new again. I need a fresh start. Would you pray for me? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you'd make those areas in their life that have begun to maybe get old. Maybe it's a sin struggle, a dark battle. I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in them, that you'd work through them by the power of your Holy Spirit that is in them, that they would release this to you, that you give them the desire and the power to do what pleases you. Because they and I cannot do it in our own strength. If it was a matter of just doing better and trying harder, we'd have conquered it by now. And so, Lord, we need your strength. We need your power. We need your presence. Work through us. Speak through us, Lord. Change us and make us new. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.